Galactic Interstellar Council on Revolution Radio Studio A, Fridays at 2 p.m. Eastern. Join us as we traverse the starseed paradigm. As expressed in the time-space continuum that we know as the divine expression of love and light. Integrating this conscious unity into the galactic paradigm. So welcome all, both terrestrial beings and galactic beings as one. So be it. You're listening to Revolution Radio.
Thank you for listening to Revolution Radio at freedomslips.com. Any commercial advertising you may hear in this program is of the sole discretion and benefit of the host of whose program you are listening to. Revolution Radio does not endorse any commercial products, nor does it accept monetary compensation for on-air advertising of commercial products, nor will it ever. We are and shall remain 100% listener supported. Any product advertising on this program are considered used at higher risk, and Revolution Radio shall not be held liable for any claims or damages received from any product advertised within this program. Revolution Radio, where information never sleeps.
Well, this is Jim Fetzer, your host on The Raw Deal, where I'm very pleased to have a return from a very popular guest on the show, Jack Mullen. I'll be bringing him in shortly. I want to begin by talking about what's going on in Washington, D.C., where we've had 11 rounds of voting for the Speaker of the House, and where Kevin McCarthy, who anticipated relatively effortlessly assuming the speakership, has found himself frustrated again and again and again by a core of 20, now increased to 21, who are standing in opposition, where the number in the House that he needs to be elected, if everyone is present, is 218. But he's falling short again and again and again. And some may think, and it's even been portrayed in the paper, for example, an article this morning in the Wisconsin State Tribune suggesting the House Speaker fight exposes GOP's drive. There are even some who are suggesting it's making the Republicans look like a clown show. So I want to begin by talking about, from the Political Insider, five stories that reveal why Kevin McCarthy is not deserving to be the Speaker of the House. Tucker, on his show, has been following this closely and been doing a good job of explaining why some in the Republican Party are adamantly opposed to Kevin McCarthy and why I predict that he will not become the Speaker. Tucker has summed it up. Explain why some true conservatives are unwilling to vote for him as Speaker. Kevin McCarthy of California was going to be Speaker, Tucker said, but then a group of 20 Republican members stopped him because they decided he's not conservative enough to represent a party that just taken back the House from Nancy Pelosi, and they are definitely right about that. As you'll discover, it's a bit more than McCarthy not being conservative enough. It's a matter of McCarthy being a double dealer, talking out of both sides of his mouth, supporting, you know, moving against mega candidates endorsed by Donald Trump and otherwise deceiving and manipulating as part and parcel of the establishment in the Republican Party, which, like the establishment in the Democrat Party, has been opposed to Donald Trump from the beginning, when he first executed his masterful, hostile takeover of the Republican Party to turn it from a country club, Richmond's cooperative, as it were, into a genuine bona fide populist party seeking to benefit the American people. And while Trump has his flaws, some of which are, in my opinion, extremely serious, including, no doubt at the behest of Bibi Netanyahu assassinating the great Iranian general statesman Qasem Soleimani in an act of perfidy that has no equal in American history, by luring him into negotiations in Baghdad, using the then prime minister of Baghdad as the intermediary, where Soleimani graciously accepted, and then Trump had him taken out in a missile attack, actually outrageous as could be. No doubt Bibi Netanyahu was completely overjoyed because Soleimani had been his nemesis, perhaps the greatest counterterrorism military expert the world has ever seen. He even assisted Hezbollah in defeating the Israeli army, the fourth most powerful in the world, in their last intervention into Lebanon. And the Israelis, you know, never forget. They wanted retaliation. This was a great blow to peace in the area, in fact, and, of course, tremendous damage to the United States for those who understand what's going on. Because while he was being portrayed as being a kind of terrorist himself, in fact, he was eviscerating ISIS, which Hillary Clinton, Barack Obama, and John Brennan had created to be a terrorist army to bring pressure on the democratically elected president of Syria, Bashar al-Assad's government, and where he, Soleimani, had been very effectively dispatching ISIS in spite of all the rape and murder and looting that was taking place there, where many members of the ISIS army were sporting U.S. Army tattoos. So with something as fresh in mind as that, I just recognize that Trump is seriously flawed and in many other ways. Returning to the present state of debate over Speaker, while McCarthy has a strong backing of Trump and has an 88% rating from the Conservative Heritage Action Group, though his lifelong score from FreedomWorks is under 70%, he even has the support of Marjorie Taylor Greene, whom I admire greatly and have described as having more balls than any man in the Republican Party. So what's the problem here? Why are 20 other right-leaning Republicans refusing to support him? Tucker explains that he's not especially conservative. He is, in fact, ideologically agnostic. He's flexible. And that flexibility is true conservatives concerned he'll be awarded the role and revert back to the all-too-familiar face of a false leader for the Republican message, like the Boners and the Ryans we've seen in the past. McCarthy, from 2012 to 2018, his Heritage Action Group rating was nearly indiscernible from that of Adam Kinzinger, rating between 40 and 57%. How appalling is that? And CNN, I gather, is now bringing Adam Kinzinger, supposed to upgrade their political coverage, as a senior political correspondent. I mean, how insane is that? CNN continues to discredit itself. MSNBC, of course, long since a figment of the distant past, nothing but 24/7 propaganda, led off by Nicole Wallace and Joy Reid, who are about as despicable as they come. Here are five stories from the past year alone as to why Kevin McCarthy may be unworthy of getting a clean vote for Speaker. In a move a little different than that of Democrats and the FBI, he openly pondered the possibility of getting conservatives banned from social media. Audio surfaced in April of him denouncing fellow Republicans, especially America First Representative Matt Gaetz, Lauren Boebert, and Mo Brooks, for putting other lawmakers at risk with their comments about the 2020 election. Let me say about Lauren Boebert. She was on Hannity here, and Hannity was lecturing her about her positions in relation to the speaker. It ran 10 minutes. It was really, in my opinion, embarrassing and revealed that Sean Hannity is a tool of the establishment himself. I've long thought that there was a ranking there of the three best political commentators, beginning, of course, with Tucker heading above. But Laura Ingraham is very good. Hannity, I put it a distant third, but principally because of the guest he features, who have included, of course, Donald Trump on multiple occasions. Well, he's putting people in jeopardy and doesn't need to be doing this, McCarthy said of Getz, for referring to them, those unwilling to fight the 2020 election results as anti-Trump. We saw what people would do at the Capitol, you know. In other words, he's posing as though Trump were responsible for what happened at the Capitol, where even the latest Twitter revelation, when his account was restored, showed Donald Trump was calling for peace, to be peaceful, follow the officers, we're the party of law and order and the like, just as he had said at the Ellipse at the conclusion of his speech, which didn't end until well after the melee at the Capitol had already taken place, which we now know is fostered by the FBI, even Ray Epps, who is a principal provocateur, has acknowledged his role there. Can't they take their Twitter accounts away too, said Kevin McCarthy. His words prompted Tucker to denounce him as a puppet of the Democrat Party. Here's a tweet about it from the Columbia Bugle, Tucker calling out Democrat Party puppet. In a phone call reported today by the New York Times, Congressman Kevin McCarthy told his close friend Liz Cheney, what does that tell you? That he hoped the social media companies would censor more conservative Republicans in Congress. Then again, as I've already said, more videotapes show him talking about Trump as though he were responsible for the January 6th events and that his actions, this is McCarthy about Trump's actions, were atrocious. He'd later discuss options such as invoking the 25th Amendment to remove Trump from office, but ultimately decide it would take too long. Look, what the president did is atrocious and totally wrong, McCarthy said to Trump in a call recorded on January 8th. What Trump did, of course, was urge protesters concerned about election integrity to make their voices peacefully and patriotically heard. Here's Ryan Nobles tweeting. Their book is out today, but Jay Mard, New York Times, and Alex Burns, New York Times, are still dropping audio bombs. This time, Kevin McCarthy says, what the president did is atrocious and totally wrong. How could we have a guy like this be Speaker of the House on behalf of the Republican Party? Then he actively worked out Speaker Republican Madison Cawthorn and other America First candidates. The Washington Post reported in September McCarthy worked to deny Madison Cawthorn a second term in office. He had been endorsed by Trump, but had accused members of Congress of using drugs and inviting him to an orgy. The well-planned targeting by McCarthy didn't simply focus on Madison Cawthorn. The House Republican leader also sought to keep other mega candidates out of Congress. The Post wrote Kevin McCarthy and a political machine were working to, quote, systematically weed out GOP candidates they felt might give him trouble as House Speaker. It was also an effort to eliminate conservative candidates in districts where more moderate candidates were perceived to have a better chance of winning. Here we have another tweet. This guy from Michael Scherer, Scoop. Kevin McCarthy's allies helped sink Madison Cawthorn. A look at how the would-be speaker's political machine worked to keep the most ultra-mega out of Congress. Just disgusting. Here's a fourth. Just a couple of weeks before the midterm, he took a motivating issue for voters of impeaching Biden and declared it would not happen before the midterm. In an interview with Punch Bowl News, McCarthy admitted that should the GOP win back the congressional control in the 2022 midterms, they would not pursue impeachment. I think the country doesn't like impeachment used for political purposes at all. If anyone ever rises to that occasion, you have to. But I think the country wants to heal and start to see the system that actually works. What an outrage that he would take such an issue off the table. it might or might not succeed or come to pass, but it, my God, it's worth talking about. And we know the guy who's playing the role of Biden isn't even the real Joe. Every time you see a real photograph of the real Joe Biden from Delaware, he's just grinning, animated. His face is just full of expression. He's usually got this shit-eating grin on his face. The present guy, none of the above. It even appears that in some instances, you can see it's a figure wearing a latex mask. This is a new, sophisticated Hollywood feature. A latex mask around the neck. You can see where the mask ends and the real neck begins. We have no idea who is this guy impersonating Joe Biden. He later lamented that Democrats had sought the impeachment of Trump before he took office, suggesting the GOP had to be better than that. Had to be better than that. You watch what the Democrats did. They all came out and said they would impeach before Trump was even sworn in. There wasn't a purpose for it. But while that was wrong, the idea of not bringing impeachment against Biden was also wrong. And we all know two wrongs don't make a right. If anything, that means they lowered the bar. And that's the level at which the GOP must fight back. If Trump were president and Democrats controlled the House, do you think they'd pump the brakes, put the brakes on impeachment, and insist the country needs to heal? Here's Jake Sherman tweeting about it. New in Punchbowl News AM McCarthy on investigation of Republicans taking the majority. Top line, GOP leader is quite bearish, meaning down on impeachment. Check out what he told us. Here's McCarthy. I think the country doesn't like impeachment used for political purposes at all. If anyone rises to that occasion, you have to. But I think the country wants to heal and start to see a system that actually works. What we've done in the commitment to America, but we're really focused on the economy, on crime and the border. Voters don't want you to focus on it. We focus on accountability. This is as firm a political argument as we've heard against impeachment from a House Republican leader in some time. Then again, it's only October, so this can change. And note, McCarthy is saying he's against impeachment for political purposes. That leaves some wiggle room. We then asked McCarthy if anyone in the admin had risen to the level that he would consider impeachment. I don't see it before me right now. You watch what the Democrats did. They all came out and said they would impeach before Trump was even sworn in. There isn't a purpose to it. You spent all that time arguing against using impeachment for political purposes. You got to be able to sustain exactly what you said. Many have observed, however, that the DHS Secretary Mayorkas has completely fumbled the job with regard to border security, and we have millions pouring in over the border. I cannot think of a more impeachable offense right off the top of my head than that. Biden needs to be held accountable. The master plan, as everyone here I think is aware, is to bring in 100 million illegals. The U.S. population is roughly 330 million, about 30 million of whom are already illegals. Bring in 100 million and you permanently change the demographics. We don't even have a simple immigration policy like that of Mexico, which requires in the first place, you must have something to contribute to the good of Mexico to migrate. And second of all, you must have the financial resources to support yourself and your family if you come. If we were simply to adopt those two principles, the flood over the border would be reduced to a trickle. And indeed, it was one of Trump's major accomplishments that he basically secured our border. Here's another, the fifth. McCarthy announced late October, when GOP takes control of the House, Ukraine would no longer be the benefactor of a blank check from the United States. I think we're going to be sitting in a recession. And they're not going to write a blank check to Ukraine. They just won't do it. It's not a free blank check. About a week later, however, allies of the Republican lawmaker were furiously backpedaling on the statement. McCarthy was not saying we won't spend money. McCarthy was saying we're going to be accountable to the taxpayer for every dollar we spend. It was an effort, CNN said, to sue the House's senior defense hawks, which is a super neat way of saying he was talking out of both sides of his mouth. Here's Kyle Atwood tweeting, inside the House GOP effort to keep weapons flowing to Ukraine. a deep dive looking at what GOPers are doing as they prep for next year. Really embarrassing. And then, as I mentioned, you had Hannity attacking Lauren Boebert over McCarthy's leadership race. Hannity is almost there, going deep state on us all. You all see it too, right? Especially in the last month or so. Sean Hannity invites Lauren Boebert onto his show so she can hear him talk about what her positions are. This Hannity clown is a continually interrupting deep state buffoon on the U.S. government payroll from the conservative treehouse. I think that's got it right. Meanwhile, we have a clip teed up of Matt Gaetz talking about why McCarthy is not the right choice to be speaker, and I believe Matt Gaetz has it right. Mitchell, please.
Those of us who will not be voting for Kevin McCarthy today take no joy in this discomfort that this moment has brought. But if you want to drain the swamp, you cannot put the biggest alligator in charge of the exercise. I'm a Florida man, and I know of what I speak. We offered Kevin McCarthy terms last evening that he rejected. We sought a vote in the first quarter of the 118th Congress on term limits. He refused. We wanted a budget from the Republican Study Committee that balances on the floor in the first quarter. He refused. We wanted the border plan that the Texas delegation put together on the floor. He refused. And it is true that we struggle with trust with Mr. McCarthy because time and again, his viewpoints, his positions, they shift like sands underneath you. Even Kevin McCarthy's own mentor recently said that the lies always change. And Mr. McCarthy is not only responsive to pressure from the right. Time and again, he has failed to achieve the goals that we seek on spending and on the fight. For months, we have been asking Mr. McCarthy for his battle plan. How do we ensure that we stand up for folks in the military who feel like they're being purged? How do we ensure that if there is the passage of a farm bill, it includes things like work requirements? And all we got was a handful of howdy and a mouthful of much obliged. So we do not want to be here at this moment. We would prefer to have a unity of purpose, but we will not continue to allow the uniparty to run this town without a fight. There's very little difference between Nancy Pelosi and her California delegation mate that seeks the gavel. And we want to change because this town is broken. And this is a person who has acknowledged in Mr. McCarthy that the town is broken. And he has been a part of that process for many years as a member of the leadership. We'll take some questions.
Let me ask the three of you a question here. So let me just clarify something here. Based on your remarks and Ms. Boebert's remarks and Mr. Perry's remarks, are you saying because we took things to this brink in the 11th hour right before the speaker's vote, he is unqualified to be speaker? In other words, a speaker, a leader, would have worked this out a long time ago.
I reject the premise of the question. We did not take this to the brink. For many months, we have been presenting these ideas to Mr. McCarthy, and we have gotten strung along, and only on New Year's Eve did we see changes to the rules. And what's interesting about the meeting we just had is our colleagues broadly celebrated rules changes that many of us had been fighting for, to ensure that we had an opportunity to read the bills before voting on them so that we did not get log rolled with multiple pieces of legislation put together that don't have the same subject, so that we had germanity rules so things like the National Defense Authorization Act wouldn't be amended onto a water infrastructure bill. And we did not get timely responses from Mr. McCarthy. We did not get substantive responses from Mr. McCarthy because I think he thought that just by going on your network and others that he would browbeat us into submission to the swamp, and we're not going to do that.
So just to be clear, none of what you heard in there from McCarthy was enough to get your support.
Everything I heard hardened my resolve that this town desperately needs change, and if it's a few of us who have to stand in the breach to force it, we are willing to do so for as long as it takes.
I think that's absolutely sensational and spot on. According to the Wisconsin State Journal report, which of course is coming from the Associated Press, which we all know, like Reuters, is owned by the Rothschild banking industry, where all of our news processed through a Zionist filter, internecine conflict. The extraordinary infighting rippled across the Republican ecosystem as a 2024 election cycle gets underway. What I'm hearing from grassroots Republicans, donors, candidates, and even federal elected officials is that there's a significant leadership vacuum in the Republican side. Seth Hammett, Dilson, a California attorney who is challenging Republican National Committee Chair Rona McDaniel to lead the party's organizing committee. Dylan declined to issue an endorsement of the speaker's election, noting only that there's a feeling that the old guard doesn't get it. The chaos stood in sharp contrast with Democrats, who are largely united behind President Joe Biden heading into the new presidential election session. As one of the failed Republican House votes unfolded Wednesday, Biden appeared alongside Senate Republican leader Mitch McConnell at a Kentucky event designed to highlight the bipartisan infrastructure package a Democrat president signed into law in 2021. Trump responded by lashing out at McConnell in a racist attack against McConnell's wife, Trump's former transportation secretary. This is who they are. Crisis, confusion, disarray. It's unfortunate, said Peter Aguilar, the House Democratic Caucus chair, said at a news conference. Notice how all of this is with a Democrat spin. All of this favorable to the Democrats. Mitch McConnell is a disgrace. I once thought he was a very clever guy and was doing a good job managing the Senate. But it's clear he's an anti-Trumper. It's clear Kevin McCarthy is an anti-Trumper. It's clear they're not supporting mega candidates. It's true they want to continue business as usual. Matt Gaetz put it so well when he observed, if you want to drain the swamp, you don't want to put the biggest alligator in charge. He's got it exactly right. Kevin McCarthy does not deserve to be speaker. I'm very glad that this cohort of very principled Republicans who care about the country, they are, in my judgment, the real patriots within the Republican Party, are standing fast, and they're not going to allow a weakling, a rhino like Kevin McCarthy to become the chairman, the Speaker of the House of Representatives. That would be a disgrace and forfeit. We already know the 2020 election was massively stolen. We have to speak up against it. Right back with my special guest, Jack Bullock.
Radio at freedomslips.com. We'll be right back after this message.
Management would like to take a moment to thank the listeners and hosts for all their support that has made Revolution Radio one of the biggest platforms for free speech in an ever-growing dark world of censorship. Unfortunately, this platform for free speech has never been free. We need the support of the people. It is the people like you, yes, you, that keeps the station in the front lines of the battle against tyranny and oppression. Please help support Revolution Radio so free speech will not be silenced in a world that seems to be going deaf to the real truth. With your support, we will be able to become an even bigger pillar of light in a dark world.
Revolution Radio, freedomslips.com, the number one listener-supported radio station on the planet. Revolution Radio.
Hey, everyone. It's Barbara Jean Lindsay, the Cosmic Oracle. If you have questions about your past lives or future plans, need answers from the cosmos about your love life or career, or just want to keep your finger on the pulse of the planet, check out my show, The Cosmic Oracle, here on Revolution Radio at freedomslips.com.
Amazon banned my book so you wouldn't learn what really happened at Sandy Hook. It was a FEMA drill presented as mass murder to promote gun control. Then they sued to shut me up, and the Wisconsin courts played along. I have the proof and the law on my side. What I don't have is the money. They want to do to us what they've already done to Canada. take guns, impose tyranny. It's on the way with Remington's help. First insurance, then registration, then confiscation. I'm asking SCOTUS to stop it. GiveSendGo.com, funding Fetzer. Check it out. This is for all the marbles.
Was it a conspiracy? Did you know that the police in Boston were broadcasting, "This is a drill, this is a drill," on bullhorns during the marathon? That the Boston Globe was tweeting that a demonstration bomb would be set off during the marathon for the benefit of bomb squad activities? And that one would be set off in 1 minute in front of the library, which happened as the Globe had announced. Peering through the smoke, you could see bodies with missing arms and legs. But there was no blood. The blood only showed up later and came out of a tube. They used amputee actors and a studio-quality smoke machine. Don't let yourself be played. Check out And Nobody Died in Boston Either. Available at moonrockbooks.com. That's moonrockbooks.com.
Radio every Wednesday 8 p.m. Eastern Time on Studio B for Momentary Zen with host Zen Garcia at freedomslips.com, the People Station.
The opinions expressed on this radio station, its programs, and its website by the hosts, guests, and call-in listeners or chatters are solely the opinions of the original source who expressed them. They do not necessarily represent the opinions of Revolution Radio and FreedomSlips.com, its staff, or affiliates.
You're listening to Revolution Radio, FreedomSlips.com, 100% listener-supported radio, and now we return you to your host.
In my history of radio, I've encountered very strong independent minds, of whom a great example is Jack Mullen, my guest today. Jack is outspoken. He sees things clearly. We may not always agree, but I always find everything he has to say is well-reasoned and a very close approximation to exactly what's going on. Jack, welcome back to The Raw Deal, my friend.
Thank you, Jim. I'm sorry I can't come in and participate in that discussion you just did for the last 33 minutes.
Oh, you're glad. You're welcome. I wanted to begin by asking your take on what's going on there right off the bat, Jack. Whether you agree with me or not, go ahead.
You know I disagree with you completely. I couldn't care less about current politics, and that's one of the places that you and I diverge. I think that are primarily a distraction, and I pay so little attention to it that I'm not useful as a commentator on the subject, except to say that while this is going on, lots of what I believe are much more important things are happening in the background. So, for example, yeah. I believe that Americans have to take back their country outside of the political system. And to start that off, they have to ignore it entirely. It is just a tabloid garbage bag. It's sensationalist nonsense. It's made up of absolute morons, sellouts, pedophiles, grifters, and other names that would be even more harsh. And so therefore, I don't give them any time. I have no interest in who's the Speaker of the House. Look at the Speakers of the House of the past. And nothing has ever come of any Speaker of the House, regardless. Nothing has come of our federal government since I was in high school back in the 1970s, and noticed that every single year, everything got worse. I think one of my strong suits in life has been the fact that I've been able to pay attention and to just look at what people are saying versus what happens. And the idea of our government ever improving has not happened one time. And I pinned my hopes on so many political candidates up through the middle of the 80s that I gave up. There's nothing that can be done here. This is not designed to be changed. It won't be changed. It's controlled and owned outside of the political system. And we both know that's the case. We know who runs this planet. We know right now we're in a dire situation that's entirely funded by central banking, and that central banking now has a noose around our neck, and they are pulling it slowly, but it is getting tighter and tighter. They are the financial arm of this new world order, which is made up of a number of components, not the least of which are the so-called Zionists and communists that their ideology seem to be, the playbook. And but they're not the only ones that play here. There's others, and there's people deeply involved that we have no idea who they are, or they are the unmentionables. And there are people that I've recently started listening to who said there are unmentionables, and you'd be best not even to find out who they are. Well, I don't care about that, because I think that we have enough people here that are actually human. And I believe that the human component of this world is kind and gentle and generally not violent and hostile. In fact, to our detriment. But I believe that the problem they have many Achilles heels. And one of the primary things they have is this, especially white people, high trust nature. And the idea that once something's set in place, it's going to be the same forever. And it's not. It's not even going to be the same next week. And our wonderful founding fathers, who were a group of people that got together for a short period of time in a collection of, similar types, that's amazing. It hasn't happened anywhere that I know of since. They warned us entirely. Just take the time to read George Washington's farewell address, and you'll see he had no faith in this system. He was an anti two-party political person. He believed that they were enemies of this republic, and that all they would do was distract people through endless fighting with each other to the detriment of everyone else. And that's all come true. And almost everything these gentlemen predicted has now come to pass. And so there is nothing inside of this government that can save us, with the exception, and I'm going to make one exception, because I'm spending a lot of time with this group, and I know by helping them that they can make things change. And that is the idea of the constitutional sheriff in the United States. No one can think of anyone. I know you can't, Jim. I know that there isn't anyone in the audience that can come up with anyone in government that has a particular reason or moral high ground to defend the common person, the taxpayer, the so-called citizens, the citizens. Nobody has that responsibility. The government protects itself completely, shielded. The only interest they have are their own. We are bystanders. We're sitting in the crowd. We're at a Roman, slave battle, and the crowd is cheering, and no one cares about us. We're going to be each introduced into the slave battle, so get eaten by the lions, et cetera, and there's nobody standing up, and there isn't anyone. However, the constitutional sheriff in a United States county actually has that distinction. That person is charged with doing just that thing, standing up for the people that elected him and standing for the Constitution. And that's the only representative I know of that actually has the authorization and the willpower and the mandate to be able to stand for the Constitution at all costs. And I think it's one of the brilliant things the founding fathers were able to build into this system, in addition to things like juries, the jury system that was the fully informed jury idea, where juries themselves could vote on the law and not necessarily the crime of the individual being tried with the law. And so there's three or four things that the founding fathers gave us that enable us to take back control at the local level, and from that point stop the encroachment inside of their little area, their county. And a county sheriff can do just that. He can prevent the FBI, he can prevent the IRS, the BATF, the CIA. Every one of these three-letter organizations can be stopped at the border by the sheriff and his deputies, and repelled if necessary, if what they're attempting to do is not constitutional. And I think that's the only hope. And I think that, and I love you, and you know that, I believe that speaking of Donald Trump, for example, is an absolute waste of time. And, you know, we could go back and look at the things that Trump did while in office that just simply undermined the United States Constitution, America First, the list goes on and on and on. And most people give him a free pass on that. And One time or another, I wrote an article with dozens of examples of what he had done. However, those aren't the most important things. The most important things are this ongoing genocide that no American seems to be capable of seeing except for a handful. Some people say there's 15% of us that notice that 7,500 people a week are dropping out of the workforce, whether they be dead or they are sufficiently maimed that they can no longer participate. The United States population is declining. Europeans have 110,000 fewer babies in 21 than in 2020. This is repeated all over Western civilization. God knows how many people have died in Australia and New Zealand, where these absolute psychopaths pretending to be in charge control the world. And they don't have the kind of governments in these places like any of the British Commonwealth. Governments are not set up in the same fashion as the United States and its constitution. And to prove that, these countries don't even have the right to keep and bear arms. I mean, they're given permissions, and they have forms they can fill out and be given a license to hold a gun for a period of time. That license automatically renewed, but are removable, but not in the United States. And not as long as the people are not going to be willing to follow any such rule because it violates the Constitution. So I guess the bottom line of my thinking in the world today, Jim, is that the political system has no value, and it is not being observed. The law is not being observed properly because no one in this country that's, say, under the age of maybe 45, maybe even up to 50, has any idea what the Constitution is, what it offers, what it gives to us, what wonderland it will provide if the laws were adhered to. And that's why we see all over the country the ADL, the SPLC, the American Defense Fund, the NAACP, all in lockstep trying to come after the Constitutional Sheriffs and Peace Officers Organization of America, the CSPOA. Because these men are actually out there making changes. They're on the ground. They've got constitutional sheriffs that are standing against mask mandates, standing against vaccines, standing against election fraud. They're the only organization on a national level that have recognition as some part of our official government that has a standing order to investigate election fraud. And they are continuing to do so. And they are being beat to death by it. I mean, they are being pummeled by the mainstream media, the New York Times, every newspaper that's controlled by the Zionist mafia, which would mean all mainstream media. That includes television, radio, all the so-called cable channels, et cetera, all the primary magazines, every document that you can get your hand on, for the most part, in, say, an airport magazine store. is controlled by the same group of people, and they are all in lockstep downplaying these amazingly brave people, the sheriffs, that are standing against this. And they are being individually targeted as having violated the law. There's one up in Michigan, a guy named Darleaf, who has relentlessly pursued the election fraud there. In addition to that, stood against mass mandates, stood against the absolutely insane governor of Michigan. While at the same time, he's being charged with election rigging himself and confiscating voter machines for investigation, and then being called violating some sort of election law that, you know, makes him himself a criminal. And these are the sort of things they're doing. And I would recommend to the people that you speak to, investigate your local sheriff's office and what kind of person that is, and whether he's familiar with the various organizations around the country that are now offering constitutional education. I know that there are several that I've looked at their courses lately that are just outstanding, and they do not explain the constitutional in the form that most people heard about it in high school, college, et cetera, but they actually explain it from the point of view of the people who wrote it and then give you information on what it actually means. And for us to be able to live in a world like that takes my breath away. And it's so sad that we don't even have anyone that even knows what the Constitution is or believes that it has any ability to stop the kind of insanity that we're seeing today, including this endless death that is, you know, we're facing with these vaccines and these companies like CVS and Pfizer and the rest of them. And I lump them all together. I mean, every single day I drive by my health department in my own county and they got a sign up, free COVID vaccines, vaccine, get your children vaccinated right now. And that's exactly the same as the rhyming event of 1921 in communist taken over formerly Russian czar controlled Russia. And after they renamed it the Soviet Union and the thugs that ran it became in charge, they began a mass murder campaign that lasts almost 40 years. The difference, but the thing that's most important is that my research shows that this world is filled with rhymes that can't be helped. This simulation, if you will, that we live in is built on a construct that it repeats these patterns over and over. Until people figure it out, maybe they don't get out of here. But in 1921, the worst thing in the world happened, and it had nothing to do with the upcoming world wars, even though they were incredible. But a massive purge of population, and primarily white Europeans, went unimpeded, unreported in the mainstream media by to any degree at all in that hellhole that became the Soviet Union. And they were able to do so with impunity while no one noticing that their population was dropping dramatically. The same exact thing again in 2021, not undeliberate. It didn't rhyme by coincidence. They began the next approach, which is let's do the same thing, only this time we're not going to bring them out and put them up against the wall and shoot them to death or starve them to death in large quantities or throw them over the side of a boat all tied together in quantities of 10,000 and see if they can all climb back to the top. We're not going to do it that way. We're going to come up with a kinder and gentler way to exterminate the population. And they did. They invented this vaccine hoax. They presented it to the people as something that was good for them. The people are gullible. They don't have any critical thinking skills. They've never been taught to think that anything the United States could do as a government entity would be harmful to their health deliberately. And so now we're in the same paradigm again. The deaths continue, and I can't see them stopping. Just on January 5th, the Fauci-led fanatics of or the COVIDians announced, you know, there's a new variant that's attacking and growing virulently in the United States, and they've got some silly name for it, and I don't try to remember, but it's too long to remember. And it's another variant. You know, it's like this made up name, Omicron variant. They make up another name that's insulting, and they call it a Omicron subvariant. I just looked it up. XBB.1.5, spreading like wildfire in the U.S. Health experts reveal why. OK, so they continue no matter how many people wake up. Now, how many times people like Ron DeSantis are supposedly putting together an organization of investigators through an announcement to the Supreme Court to have it investigated the number of deaths and the vaccine mandates and the mass mandates and the fake closing of businesses, et cetera. But I don't see it happening. And I think that each one of these steps is just a way in which they can prolong the amount of time the lethal injections have to continue to work. And there will be a time, probably in 2023, where there will not be enough people to even drive the trucks that are necessary to bring the food to local regions. And in the meantime, with this sort of nonsense being projected and parroted by the mainstream media that we have a new spreading like wildfire variant, they will introduce their new concept of the 15-minute city, where everyone has to live within a 15-minute zone, now going into effect in the UK. And there's a lot of good information. If somebody hasn't heard of the 15-minute city yet, please look it up. It's coming to a town near you in the near future. A couple of years ago, I noticed that Dollar General was putting stores up all over the place in the middle of nowhere. And the only thing I could get out of it was that they were in like a 10-mile to 15-mile drive of the next one. And I'm talking about all over rural West Virginia, these Dollar Generals show up in a place that might have 300 or 400 people in the community. And I can see now that was just the baby steps, the organization of the 15-minute city. We'll have a Dollar General and a Walmart and a few other things, like a grocery store with foods that they're going to say are hard to get, but they got some for you. And you're going to be confined to live in that little zone. And if we do not stop this now, if we can't stand against it today while we're still not hungry, most of us who are in this group are not injected, and many will be forcibly injected if they get their chance, then I don't know how we can stand against it. If we can't support the constitutional sheriffs, if we cannot understand that the central bank digital currency system is the most ingenious slavery system ever devised, and they are only months away from bringing it live and telling you that, you can still use your cash, but let's go ahead and try this system out, see how it fits, people like it, et cetera. And then they'll pull the switch, which is happening in real time as they spend this economy into oblivion. And I just found a report, because I write a weekly report on the economy. I found a report that I'm trying to bring it up here so I can get the words right without screwing it up. It was a report. It was written by Wall Street on Parade. The report came out a couple of days ago. And it talks about the TARP, compares TARP in 2008 to the current system of bank repos and secret repo loans, and has found that during the 2020-21 period, a data dump shows $48 trillion in funding of these mega banks. Now, this is all massively this is inflation to the 100th power. The system is being deliberately destroyed. The criminals are spending every dime they can get their hands on. They're printing it. They're destroying the Americans' individual wealth through inflation. They're destroying the Americans' individual ability to make decisions on what products to buy because of rising interest rates, which means that they'll no longer be able to afford a house, or not be able to at least finance a house. They'll no longer be able to buy other things that are being affected by rising interest rates, while at the same time destroying those industries through deflation. So, sooner or later, over the next 6 or 8 months, the housing market will collapse like never seen before. Same with automobiles, and all the industry that's connected to them. I mean, the automobile industry and the housing market are about 35% of the total U.S. GDP. And they are being undermined and destroyed. And it's deliberate. There's no way back. The dollar's not fixable. It's not supposed to be fixed. And if people are still holding their assets in dollars, and I'm not a financial advisor, this is my advice, I would move out of the dollars as soon as possible. The major mega banks have all announced they're in trouble. They have extended themselves in terms of loans, while at the same time, the rising interest rates have reduced the number of loans, which is their primary mainstay income. That, along with the fact that most of the assets they have on hand are being devalued, and therefore they're underwater in terms of liabilities on their balance sheets. So the banks themselves are exactly the same shape, only worse than they were in 2008. They've already been bailed out, and they're being bailed out every single day of the week. If you look at the 10-year yield over the last year, you're going to see unbelievable amount of movement in it. Just over the last 24 hours, the 10-year yield has come down from 3.8 back below 3.5. Now, this sounds like just a small amount of numbers. It represents trillions of dollars, in my estimation, that have been just generated overnight to buy debt And when they buy the debt, they're buying everything. They're owning everything. BlackRock, the Federal Reserve, these private organizations, they are parasites and they are cannibals. And they are attempting to buy everything that is buyable in the United States. When the final nail hits the coffin on the middle class, it's not going to be like anyone ever imagined before. It's not going to be the way they treated the Germans at the end of World War One and their hyperinflation and then blamed World War One on the Germans. It's not going to be that way. It's going to be worse than that situation. And there's very few examples of anything being worse than Weimar Germany at the end of World War One. So, Jim, I didn't let you talk and I got on kind of a ramp there. I think that there's a lot of important things in the world. And I would like to, you know, be part of your conversation. And I especially like to invite people to your site that you're now taking membership to help pay for some of the costs of your underwriting, your stuff that you're not able to, you know, find ways to fund yourself. The thing, our site is called allthingsreconsidered.tv. And I want to invite people out to that. And and let them have a look around. We have all kinds of interesting things there, Jim, happening. I appreciate your input on this. And it's just an exciting thing to be able to build something that can help you in this situation that you found yourself in over the corruption in this government that can't even give you a trial by jury. And so therefore, I'm going to let you ask me questions.
Oh, Jack, that was just an astonishing demonstration of what I meant when you bring a strong, independent mind that we don't always agree. But I think we've just heard more truth in the last 30 minutes than we've had in the last year and a half from the mainstream and even the alternative media combined, Jack. It was sensational. I want to hear more of this. My audience gets to hear me all the time. They don't get to hear you all the time. And I'm not so sure that wouldn't be the preferable option. You're just doing a sensational job here, Jack. And when we return from the break, I want you to continue. Stand by with Jack Mullen, who's giving us a powerful exhibition of what's really going on in the world today.
Radio at freedomslips.com. We'll be right back after this message.
Was it a conspiracy? Did you know that the police in Boston were broadcasting, "This is a drill, this is a drill," on bullhorns during the marathon? That the Boston Globe was tweeting that a demonstration bomb would be set off during the marathon for the benefit of bomb squad activities? And that one would be set off in 1 minute in front of the library, which happened as the Globe had announced. Peering through the smoke, you could see bodies with missing arms and legs. But there was no blood. The blood only showed up later and came out of a tube. They used amputee actors and a studio-quality smoke machine. Don't let yourself be played. Check out And Nobody Died in Boston Either. Available at moonrockbooks.com. That's moonrockbooks.com.
If you think for 1 second that the Capitol will ever treat us fairly, you are lying to yourself. Because we know who they are and what they do. This is what they do, and we must fight back. You can torture us and bomb us. Fire is catching. And if we burn, you burn with us.
Good evening.
Are you awake yet? I hope. We've tried and we've tried for years and years to use passive resistance and loud voices to make a change. The time is over. your governments around the world have no other goal than to decimate your entire existence at the hands of the bankers and the elites. The war is coming, and it's your choice to decide if you want to be a warrior or a victim. Denial is not a choice anymore. Revolution Radio, freedomslips.com, the number one listener-supported radio station on the planet, not giving up. Revolution Radio.
It is no secret that the so-called mainstream media is best described as controlled propaganda. Countless news stories are either totally ignored or spun with half-truths, and because of this, essential facts and vital information are often compromised. Join Dr. Ott every Friday night on Studio B at 10 p.m. Eastern and learn why The Story Behind the Story was nominated for a Peabody Award in its second year of producing unparalleled broadcasting excellence in 1997. That is, if you really care about learning the truth.
The opinions expressed on this radio station, its programs, and its website by the hosts, guests, and call-in listeners or chatters are solely the opinions of the original source who expressed them. They do not necessarily represent the opinions of Revolution Radio and FreedomSlips.com, its staff, or affiliates.
You're listening to Revolution Radio, FreedomSlips.com, 100% listener-supported radio, and now we return you to your host.
Jack, you made so many wonderful points here during this first segment you've been on. It seems to me we agree to this extent that the Constitution was a brilliant document, but that there's a difference between the formal government, the formal structure of the government, and the informal structure of the government, the way things are actually done. That the Constitution has been corrupted from top to bottom. We now have not only the politicalization of the FBI and the Department of Justice, but even it appears the entire judicial system from top to bottom, which is completely appalling. And as I understand your position, you think the prospects for reform, given the present allocation of political responsibility by office holders who have been illegitimately elected, is virtually nil, and that it's going to require extraordinary measures up to and including, those advocated by the Declaration of Independence. I would just like you to pick up from there and go forward, because everything you're saying is utterly fascinating. Everyone is in the grip of your presentation, and we all want more.
Well, I hope I don't disappoint you. I spilled out a lot of different topics there because I wanted to be able to cover them all. And I do that generally in your show because you give me a lot of space to go ahead and do that. But we're in a situation right now where we have the ability of hindsight and how it was done in previous. And I'm talking about what Trotsky would call a permanent revolution. We've seen how it's done before, and we know that when it is set up this way, the intention is to completely disrupt and destroy the current culture and the current structure of the ruling civilization, the civilization that's in charge. In this case, it's been the West for some time. It has been the West that has constructed the civilization that we live in right now. The fact that we're speaking over this type of technology is the responsibility of the West, having both developed it and funded it, brought it into existence. But at the same time, these technologies and these wonderful things that the West brought to the world have also been highly negative and have caused great troubles and pain for a lot of people. And so it's only now that I'm able to help a lot of people see what I've been saying for some time, and that is that the United States, in all of its greatness and its internal greatness, has been a terrible force for evil around the world. And the American people themselves have been treated positively terrible and in such a way that would be almost inhumane, as they were required to create the wealth necessary to produce this monstrosity that we now call the New World Order, in order for them to take control of the 190-some countries that are now in lockstep with all these various programs, including the central bank system, including the central World Health Organization's control of medical systems around the world, and putting these psychopaths claiming to have medical experience in charge of our so-called health systems. All of this has been the result of Americans' labor stolen from them. And the interesting thing you can make out of this is that the United States not only was living in a world which filled with resources, and by the way, they are still all there, but they were also able to bring those resources out and build things out of them and create wealth that has never been seen before. And during the period of time before the banker cadre was able to fully wrap their tentacles around the lifeblood of this nation through sucking dry its wealth, we saw that we had great abundance of both time, which is an indication of wealth, and that includes leisure time, and we had peacefulness. We had generally good rapport with the rest of the world, and I'm talking about that little bit of period after World War II and before they got us completely ensnared in the 60s with everything from the CIA's drug programs to the destruction of our young people and the economy through the Vietnam War. There was a little window where you got an idea. And I think, Jim, you grew up in that time period. I was born in the tail end of it. But the vestiges of it, you know, we felt it all through the 60s. When America was showing the world that you can build and have an incredibly productive economy, and you can have one person working out of the house and one person in the home, making a better home, raising the children, determining what educational things the children ought to be exposed to, et cetera. And in order for them to destroy that, the steps that were taken and the amount of American wealth that was squandered to do so is staggering. The number trillions doesn't touch it. And when I was even 20 years ago, we didn't hear much of the word trillion. And back in the 70s and 80s, when the economy was such that the federal government had billions of dollars in debt, we thought that was a big number. But you can see they magnified it now into trillions and then quadrillions and whatever the next name of the next thing is, that's where they're approaching. And that is an indication of how much the American worker and this system of basically quasi controlled markets. I mean, so they're not free markets by any means. They don't resemble them except on certain to some degrees. But even with a quasi free market system like we've had, we've generated amazing wealth. And now the time has come that they're going to harvest all of the remaining wealth. The Americans have done their job. They provided for them the necessary capital to build the military industrial complex that they needed to do to hijack and completely control the U.S. military, to make it basically a mercenary army, to remove all officers that were primarily interested in America first. That was done during the Obama days. Step by step, they made every necessary decision and created what we now have today, which is a struggling to just stay above water. Most people don't have $500 in their checking account right now, and their situation is being made worse by two things that shouldn't be happening simultaneously. This is how you know you're being destroyed deliberately. You would never raise interest rates into a situation where you're absolutely blowing the money supply to the moon. Now, we just saw Congress and the Republicans voted for it, a $1.7 trillion spending bill. And in that spending bill, they don't even have, they can't even tell you what half of it is for. It's just for non-military spending. And if you look into it, you're going to see all sorts of absurd things. And that's not by accident. Recently, I saw a bill that provided billions to the American Indians to help promote their languages and to ensure their languages are kept healthy, and also to promote product sales through their stores, et cetera. But the products themselves appear to be going to be manufactured out of the country, as in China. And these things may sound interesting to some people on the outside, because I have nothing against the American Indians. And, you know, I think that, you know, for the things that have been done to them are particularly bad currently because of the way in which they are forced to remain in a situation where they stay basically living in a fenced up area that they call a reservation. But regardless of that, we see monies being thrown at things that we would never normally see it being thrown at. We just saw $50 billion go to chip manufacturers in the United States. And if you pay attention, you'll see large sums of money every single day. That is inflation. That's on purpose. A debt-based economy based on currency that is created out of thin air and then issued as debt notices or as debt notes to the public, meaning that every time you pick up a dollar bill, you owe some interest on that dollar bill. It's loaned to you. It is not a thing that has value of itself on its own. It's a worthless piece of paper that you have to pay to hold continuously. And when you have that type of economy set up, then there is a lifetime for which that economy can live. And it requires endless amounts of debt. The Federal Reserve's primary product is debt. That's all they do. They manufacture debt and they sell debt. They buy back debt. They work in debt. And therefore, the only way this economy can continue at all before we get a liquidity crisis that locks it up like never before is that there has to be new monies put into the system every single day, borrowing around the clock. Otherwise, what will happen is that monies designated for interest will soon consume the available liquidity. And that liquidity then will be taken away from all sorts of private projects, including household spending money. And within a few days or weeks, it locks up and the economy's finished. And at that time, people start saying, wait a minute, maybe I shouldn't be holding dollars here. My whole life's wealth is in a dollars, either in my bank account or in financial instruments that are valued in dollars. At that point, the dollar will crash in value, meaning that it won't buy anything. So even if you have a truckload of them in your basement, you're not going to be able to buy a single ounce of silver and or a single ounce of gold. And it's during that little intermediate period that we have to have people wise enough to have made the decision to do what's right now. And that is get out of the dollar into productive assets like farmland and machinery, tools, you name it, skills. I mean, learn a skill right now. That's a productive asset that you're bringing into your own self and also into assets that retain purchasing power. And that would be gold, silver, and then other assets that are related, either metallic or things like food supplies that you can store, and then products like oil and gas that may be stored as well temporarily. But the situation is that there is no inflation in gold and silver right now. The amount of gold that it takes to buy a barrel of oil hasn't changed materially since I looked back at through 1950. So if you're going to buy oil, say in small quantities of silver, gold grams, you're going to pay almost the same for a barrel of oil today that you would have paid in, say, 1961 or 58. And the reason being is because inflation is not a sign of rising prices. It's not a sign generally of shortages, although it can temporarily affect prices with shortages. It is a sign that your financial instrument, your currency, its buying power is being destroyed dramatically. And that is what happens to economies like ours. And it's happened over and over and over. Most Americans don't get any education on that. You have to look for it yourself. But as I mentioned before, Weimar, Germany is a great place to look into what happened there. And in the last hours of that, nothing can be more brutal. And it was Lenin who said that the best and fastest way to destroy a civilization is to debauch its currency. Because imagine waking up tomorrow and all the wealth that you've acquired, your 401ks and any other type of retirement you have, plus your working capital, can't buy you any food. And you're in a process of having to sell the most valuable things you have just to find enough money to make it through another week's worth of food. And this is what happened to these people. And it is extremely violent. And I wish that people could, you know, all over the United States wake up and say, no, we're not doing this. And then at the end of it, at the end of that deal, when they have everyone hungry as can be, when the violence is at its peak, these mega bankers, and I call them ghouls, will introduce their new banking system, a central bank digital currency, in which they will say, hey, guess what? I'm going to take all your dollars. Don't worry. We're going to build back up the purchasing power. We're going to say that things are going to be must be able to be purchased with our digital dollar. And then they will become absolute controller of not only everything that used to be private, but all the industry and all the ways in which we resources were brought to our market. They will control as well. And they will say, you know, now we're in charge of the farmlands, and now we'll provide corn to you, and it'll be a certain number of digital dollars. But if you have a paper dollar, we'll no longer buy anything. And so, but we'll tell you what we're going to do. If you give us your paper money, we'll give you 80 cents on the dollar, or maybe they'll give you a dollar and a half on the dollar, or $2, because it doesn't matter. The central bank digital currency system is designed to be not to be able to be a place you can build wealth. It's going to have a time limit on when you can spend your money. And when you stop, don't spend it in that time, it devalues. So you're going to not only be encouraged to go buy things, you'll be forced to go buy things, or else your purchasing power will disappear as they remove those funds from your bank. In the meantime, they're going to be able to set up their 15-minute cities and tell you, I'm sorry, your currency won't be spendable outside of that 20-mile or whatever number of miles they give you to run around in. As soon as you go over that border, then geo-positioning satellites will notify your cell phone application that you are outside of your range and your money won't spend. And this, coupled with the idea that they can then use citizens' monitoring groups circa, you know, 1945 Stasi Germany to maintain pressure on you through social crediting, where people can volunteer social crediting information, where the government spies on you 24/7. The government says, oh, you went into a store and you bought a few extra knives. Why'd you buy a few extra knives? I'm sorry, we're going to have to give you a couple docs on your social credit. That's not very social. And therefore, every knock against your social credit will bring down the amount of money you're allowed to spend from your digital bank account. And this is the hellish world they have us planned for. That means that there's no way out of that mess because they've already destroyed the brightest and the best, the same way they did in 1921. The parallel between 1921 and today is dramatic if you look into it, and I think I'm the only one that's ever written about it. The Soviets, under the leadership of Lenin and Trotsky, and of course Stalin, who is nothing but a train robber and a thug, elevated into a position because of friendships with bankers, funded by American and European bankers, the Warburgs, Kuhn Loeb, and many others. Were put in the position of power in the Soviet Union, and they set about mass murdering the wealthiest, the brightest, the best looking, because that was another point of envy. And they did so. They went after anybody with an IQ that was supposedly high. People with glasses that could read were targeted. And this same thing is happening in the United States now. Look how many athletes have died and dropped over. Look how many people that are maybe not good people in what they've done and served for, but they are intelligent people that have owned industry or part of the entertainment community. Look how many of those have died. Look how many people in medical system have been vaccinated and how many physicians are dying. This is the same plan. It's just a different variation. It's a rhyme, and not it's not the exact same thing, but it rhymes with it. And that's what we're seeing here. And if we don't get in front of that, stop it now. The same thing that happened to the Soviet Union. Their IQs dropped dramatically. The ability even today for them to muster any sort of resistance to the control systems they live in. And you remember the same people that controlled the Soviet Union back in the 1920s are the same people that now control the major banks and media all around the world. And they still have major control systems in the Soviet Union or in Russia today. to muster any kind of resistance and some sort of opposition to this, maybe take power back, maybe have liberty again, is not going to happen. It's not going to happen in the foreseeable future without another great reset. And that's the kind of reset, you know, we saw with the Great Flood and several others in the past. And that's another story that I've begun to know something about, and I'd love to talk about it sometime. But regardless, if we don't take control of this now over the next 20 years, and I'm telling you, we're going to lose a significant amount of population going into 2025. At that point, people are not going to be so willing to take the vaccines. And but right now, they're still lining them up to get the vaccines every single day. I know people are taking 4 boosters. if we don't do something about it now, there's nothing we can do about it. They'll just simply starve you into submission. You'll have to get your digital bank account. They'll take away your weapons because Americans are only willing, I think, to protect their weapons, not to use their weapons to protect themselves. So if they're not coming after your weapons and they're marginally starving you to death while telling you you have no money anymore unless you sign up for this. Oh, and if you sign up for this, I'm afraid you're going to have to give up your guns. The guns will just go away through attrition. Guns are not useful just to hold in your hands. And they only present a force the same way that competition, it's the threat of competition that creates a cleaner and better market. It's the threat of use of a weapon that presents a better and cleaner market. But if no one has the ability to even put up the threat, owning weapons of no value at all. And that's their struggle right now. And you can see it. They're not coming directly after your weapons. They come for things around your weapons, and they create things like red flag laws. And then if you want to have medical marijuana, you have to give up your rights to own a weapon. And there's many other things that have to do with the medical industry. I mean, if you're taking any kind of their psychotropic poisons, you know, you're in some states not allowed to own a weapon. And this is the process by which they will remove our weapons. They went straight forward in Australia and New Zealand, Scotland. But in the United States, it's got to be done a different way. So all I can say, Jim, is that we have a few ways remaining to us right now. The constitutional sheriff is one. Individuals getting educated on the Constitution and then saying, no, I'm not going to obey unconstitutional law. Hold the highest law of the land as sacrosanct. Give it the moral authority. It's giving it to you. The founding fathers built the moral authority to take back our government from these people by simply enforcing the law. They haven't gotten rid of that law yet. They're working to try to do so. But in the meantime, it's still there waiting on somebody to reach out for it. Take back our world. And we have to have people that will do it, that will stand up in a county, help create grand juries for various reasons. I mean, we need grand juries at every county in the United States to look into election fraud and to vaccine genocide. And if one single grand jury anywhere in the United States can bring charges against the genocide industry, then it will all fall away overnight in lawsuits that will enrich everyone's life. But it takes courage and the people to do so. And I know that there have been grand juries that have been created and attempted to bring it to their to the position where it could go to a court, and the courts refused to hear it. Okay, so that's when it takes people in the streets, and we put physical pressure on these people to listen to what they are constitutionally required to hear in a court of law. And that's about all I can offer, Jim. There's no more magic in this. It's all laid out in front of you.
JFK once observed to an assembly of Nobel Prize winners at the White House, that this was the greatest collection of talent and intellect ever assembled in one place at one time, save when Thomas Jefferson dined alone. And I feel very like that, Jack, with having you here. I really think you put the rest of us to shame. You have really got a grip on this, and it's just awesome to hear it. And I think this last hour has been perhaps the most incisive critique of where things stand in the world today I have ever heard from any source or multiple sources combined. So my hat is off to you, my friend. And I will open the lines to callers, 540-352-4452. 540-352-4452. Mitchell will field your call. But, Jack, I'm just so glad to have you here today. And I sure want to bring you back on a regular basis because I think your message is one that everyone needs to hear. Everyone needs to understand it. We're going to have a ghost of a chance. We got to face up to the grim reality of the situation we're in, and I know of no one who is delivering the goods of where things really stand than you, my friend. I'm just in awe. I think this has been absolutely sensational, and I want to go back and recap some of the key aspects of what the people can do, if anything, to save themselves. I'm just so disturbed by the profound dumbing down of America, which has happened from every source, from kindergarten on up, failure, social promotion failure, getting rid of standards, grades failure, teaching wokeism, giving transsexual instruction at the lowest grades, universities failing in their, they've gone politically correct. Now Biden is using federal money to insist everyone be vaxxed. Everyone who has any form of federal assistance has to get the vax. This is a recipe for disaster on a scale unprecedented in the history of mankind. And it's happening right here in the United States today. Stunning, stunning
on
stuff.
Purpose.
Yep,
it's
and it's
going
on
to be
purpose.
The United States ever.
We'll be right back. Yeah. We'll be right back with my special guest, okay. Jack Mullen, right after this break.
Take a moment to thank the listeners and hosts for all their support that has made Revolution Radio one of the biggest platforms for free speech in an ever-growing dark world of censorship. Unfortunately, this platform for free speech has never been free. We need the support of the people. It is the people like you, yes, you, that keeps the station in the front lines of the battle against tyranny and oppression. Please help support Revolution Radio so free speech will not be silenced in a world that seems to be going deaf to the real truth. With your support, we will be able to become an even bigger pillar of light in a dark world.
Revolution Radio, freedomslips.com, the number one listener-supported radio station on the planet. Revolution Radio.
join Revolution Radio every Wednesday, 8 p.m. Eastern Time on Studio B for Momentary Zen with host Zen Garcia at freedomslips.com, the People Station.
Even the government admits that 9/11 was a conspiracy. But did you know that it was an inside job? That Osama had nothing to do with it? That the Twin Towers were blown apart by a sophisticated arrangement of mini or micro nukes? That Building 7 collapsed 7 hours later because of explosives planted in the building? Barry Jennings was there. He heard them go off and felt himself stepping over dead people. The U.S. Geological Survey conducted studies of dust gathered from 35 locations in Lower Manhattan and found elements that would not have been there had this not been a nuclear event. Ironically, that means the government's own evidence contradicts the government's official position. 9/11 was brought to us compliments of the CIA, the neocons of the Department of Defense, and the Mossad. Don't let yourself be played. Read America Nuked on 9/11. Available at moonrockbooks.com. That's moonrockbooks.com.
The opinions expressed on this radio station, its programs, and its website by the hosts, guests, and call-in listeners or chatters are solely the opinions of the original source who expressed them. They do not necessarily represent the opinions of Revolution Radio and FreedomSlips.com, its staff, or affiliates.
You're listening to Revolution Radio, FreedomSlips.com, 100% listener-supported radio, and now we return you to your host.
Well, we got a further development because they resumed after 12 rounds of voting yesterday. They just had a 12th round of voting. Mitchell just posted a piece about it. Makes deal with Chip Roy. Mitchell, what's this deal with Chip Roy? Could you tell us?
I don't know the specifics of the deal, but they've got a number of people that have crossed over, but they still don't have enough votes to get McCarthy over the top. So they believe that they have enough now, they can just apply sheer political pressure to the real patriots in America. You know, this is what most people don't understand, is that block of U.S. House members that are standing against McCarthy are standing against the swamp and business as usual. They are the mega crowd, and they're not going to go away. They're going to grow. And that's the biggest threat to this uniparty system.
I think this may be the stand for the future of the republic. I mean, Jack's laying out so clearly all the problems we confront. Well, in terms of the formal structure of government, they are the patriots. They are the constitutionalists. They are the formidable force trying to bring some semblance of reason, rationality, and adherence to the Constitution to government. I applaud them. Jack, before we take our first caller, your thoughts about that? I mean, I know you believe that the formal government is a failure, but perhaps you would agree with me that what they're doing here is heroic and historic, and if it could succeed, it would be at least a step in the right direction.
Well, I would agree with you that it might be something that would be pleasing to a certain group of people that still refer to themselves as Republican and believe that that means something relative to the nature of our country years ago, the legacy United States. But I can't believe that at all. And I don't see any strong differences between the two parties at all. I see them achieving the same goal using a different group of people to manipulate into supporting them to achieve the same goal. And I think that these parties are designed specifically to appeal to the two larger groups of people that are still remaining cohesive in the United States and just play them continuously while outside the real world is falling apart. It's on fire. And so I honestly can't even tell you whether I think that's good or bad, because I don't even pay enough attention to that to offer up, you know, my opinion, whether I would take that over the other option. I remember when I was asked about voting for Trump or Hillary. And at that time, I said, you know, at least if we vote for Trump, we're going to have a Republican in the office. We're going to hear things that we like to hear from time to time. And if we vote for Hillary, we're going to have the same ends with lots of news we're not going to hear, want to hear every day. And I think that that's all there is to it. And now, you know, I wouldn't vote for either one of them. But regardless, that's how I feel. I'm done voting in these national elections.
Jack, good. We have two callers standing by. Brian, you were first on, first up. Go ahead. Give us your thoughts, Brian.
Jack, he's spot on with everything. I thought I was listening to Paul. But anyway, he's got it exactly the way I see it. And these Republicans that are supposedly holding out, you know, if they're too much of a problem, they'll get out their tapes from Epstein's Island or some other place and say, you better get in line because here's you with this young girl, whatever it is, they'll pull out all the stops. So I'm along with Jack. The only thing that I'd like to say to Jack that will change his perspective a little bit is if he could read the Moscow show trial transcripts that used to be on the internet years ago, where the one I read was where they were executing, I think his name was Kaganovich, and that started out, this is Comrade Kaganovich, and he's an agent of City of London, and he's responsible for the starvation of the Ukrainian people, and for that he's going to be executed. And that's how those show trials started out. And when I read that, then I figured out that Stalin actually turned on them, and that's why he hunted down Trotsky in Mexico City with an ice pick, and why if you were caught with a copy of the Protocols of the Elders of Zion, that you were executed, why he hung some Frankfurt School people by a tree. And to me, that's why the U.S. wanted to nuke Russia after World War II to get even. And when he was going to finally get rid of his Jews in the early 50s, that's when they poisoned him. So there's just so much. It's the same with Hitler. You know, if you read the Hitler 25-point plan and we could enact it tomorrow, there would be no problems at all in our government. So that's all I want to say.
Well, that's all very, very good. Jack, did you want to respond?
Yeah, thank you for the comments. Thank you for your kind words. I agree with that. The thing with Trotsky, or I'm sorry, with Stalin is that, yeah, he did go to Mexico and hunted down Trotsky, and he made some noise about Jewish influence on his regime towards the end of his life. And, of course, he was entirely controlled by the Jews. The Politburo was, what, 98% Jewish, et cetera. But I think that he wanted to run his own dictatorship. And yeah, so, I mean, personally, the Protocols of the Elders of Zion is something that everyone should read. It's mapped out there. And we know that it was a death sentence to be caught with it in the Soviet Union. It's the same way it was a death sentence to be convicted or even charged with, in many cases, anti-Semitism, which is one of the rhymes with 1921 today. One of the reasons that I dislike Trump is his support for anti-Semitism law. It's the same people bringing in the same stuff again. When they make it a death sentence to speak against anything that you conclude has anything to do with Jews at all, whether it be in banking or you know, how they run their meat industry, and you get a death sentence for that, you're going to know that that has nothing to do with God, for example. Anyway, go ahead, Jim.
Yeah, very, very good, Jack. We have Paul standing by. Paul, please join the conversation.
Well, I would take exception to Brian, what he said about he thought he was listening to me. I think Jack is a sunny optimist, you know, compared to me. Let's throw some cold water on the situation here. I Jim, I know, you know, I listen to your show all the time. You're my guy, and you know, it's politics. You got to talk about it, right? But I think everybody here really knows that politics is completely irrelevant at this point. Speaker of the House, who cares? What are they thinking about? the idea, you know, that you can call some people conservatives. What are they conserving? Let me know when a politician really tells the truth about our money, right? Even Ron Paul, you know, only talked about auditing the Federal Reserve, right? I mean, and nobody, I don't know of any politicians that are going to talk about the vicious, and I mean, it is a vicious chemical weather warfare that's being waged against us, and in many ways is resulting in the absolute destruction of the natural world. And I think that they're willing to do it to get to us, as I've said before. So this is all, you know, what they call nonsense drivel. It's like a stage play. You know, there's a, quote, real politic going on. And that's they're waging a war of extinction against us. When these people can buy or create or just will into existence money that everybody else is going to honor, right? They can, by just sheer purchasing power, create whatever weird dystopian world they want, and they're doing it. They're bringing in millions upon millions of unviable, okay, these people that they're bringing in, right? Africans, you know, Mexicans, Central and South Americans, you know, even a lot of these Asians, they're just completely worthless. They're dead weight here. They've been that way for decades. As I told the story many times, I used to have a client and she worked at the Social Security office. And she told me back in the 90s that one of the questions on the form that these people fill out, how long you've been in the U.S., these are the people that are in their office with their handout. One of the questions is how long you've been here in the U.S.? She said more than half the time the answer was one day. Okay, this is legal migration, by the way. They are allowed to bring in through chain migration, you know, up to 10 people, I believe. So unless we, you know, just get really mean and nasty, and there's some mean and nasty people out there, let me tell you, I don't know, I see one most days, then we're in a world of crap.
Jack.
Paul, do you see that when you look in the mirror or what?
I left that for the imagination.
You know, I don't think we don't disagree here at all. And, you know, the more people they bring in that they claim are of value to us, the more people they're allowed to spend and will spend and can get authorization to spend money on. When you're trying to keep a economy that is long in the tooth and is based on a debt-based system alive, you have to spend endlessly around the clock. So it's important for them to have something that they pretend has value, that has no value at all, to spend stuff on. And I would agree that that's why we have so many people that are being transferred all over the world. It's not only to bring in soldiers from fighting age soldiers to do harm when necessary, but it's also to feed them and to give them status and then to offer them an opinion that they have more value than they have, which then opposes the general population and creates greater division. So I like it. You're right.
Paul Moore.
Well, you know, like I said, it's just it's hard to be, shall we say, concerned. I mean, we all have to be, you know, concerned with living our daily lives when we are when we know this. I was almost going to say it. It was like a slip. Privilege to know this, but of course it's no kind of privilege to know what we know and to see what we see, and so many other people have no clue. I mean, they have zero idea. I mean, unless you spend some time online looking and reading, listening to somebody like you, Jim, or somebody like you, Jack, or, you know, many other shows on RBN, Speak Free Radio, etc., or excellent Fascination. If I was to take over the government, I would be very selective about what people could listen to. Believe me, there would be censorship. And one of the things that would be played ad infinitum would be a Fascination podcast for everybody to listen to. You know, it's just because we have to get our heads right. And I don't know how many people I think collectively across the country, I think there's plenty. There's enough people that have their heads right that can and would do what needs to be done. But it's going to take a kind of commitment and a fearlessness that I think has been demonstrated very few times in history, and it's going to be a little bit worse now because I think that we have to overcome decades and decades of not only propaganda but dysgenics. I think that Jack will agree with me, and you don't live here in California, but I bet it's where you are that you go out and about now, and people don't look the same. They look misshapen. They don't look, you know, like tall or taller, good looking, you know, better formed. They've turned so much of America into useless blobs. And now it's like these brown mystery meat blobs that are coming here and they're breeding with each other. It's insanity. The Germans had it right about race. You know, that's it. At the end of the day, as Kevin Alfred Strom says so often, you know, on his broadcast there, that, you know, it's biology. That's all that really matters. Biology is real. Politics is nothing. It's just blather. It's words coming out of people's mouths. Biology is actually real. It exists. And that's why we have to embrace what it is they accuse us of. Okay. I've pretty much always embraced it naturally. I didn't have to go very far. I didn't have to go looking for my own, you know, racial, you know, sense.
Identity.
It was always there.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Anyway, so, Jack, did you see where I saw a New York Times guest opinion the other day claim that we should be mating with shorter people so that we can move towards a greener planet? And shorter people is a step towards a greener planet since smaller individuals are inherently conservationists. I mean, that's absolutely dystopian nonsense. And they put these people in positions.
This is how bold and brazen these people are. I know you probably don't watch TV much, you know, the way you used to, and I don't as a rule, but it's hard to escape it when you watch, you know, some sporting event or something. You've seen the way they have every other commercial minimum have black people in it or mixed race couples. It's constant, right? As people have commented on this show before, if you watch TV, you'd think that the population was more than half black, and I'm sure that that would be happy. That's what they would want. But I saw an ad online the other day for a book, and it's the cover was so sickening, okay? The title of the book, Jack, Why Black Men Love White Women, and it shows this coal black nigger with some beautiful white woman with blonde hair. And I just wanted to go and find the publishing house, find the author, and you know what? It's just these people are just – they're fucking with us. Big time.
The worst part don't understand that.
It's one of the worst things that I see is the idea that whites are being written out of everything. Like all the new movies, very few of them have any whites in any role. And you go into you go into a cell phone store and look at the pictures on the wall. There's no white people in any of the pictures, you know. We're actually being written out, and that's a sign of some form of, you know, genocide. It's a preparatory step in a genocide, and you can see what happened in South Africa and use that as a gauge to how it is happening here. And I have met a person from South Africa who said to the group that she was talking to that this is identically what they did to them years ago. They just wrote them out of the picture, marginalized and minimalized the whites, and now they're sleeping in streets and being murdered in their homes and all the property stolen.
Right. I see this in the stores. If I walk through a Target, you know, or like been a while, but also Macy's. I did a temp job last year working at Macy's back in the shipping room. It's kind of easy, you know, it's nice, easy holiday money. But yeah, and you go out in the store, I'd say no less than half or more of all the pictures and, you know, posters around the store were non-white. Yeah, exactly correct. They're just, it's like they're wishing it and willing it into existence through imagery first.
Right. Agreed.
I understand.
And wait.
Yeah.
Yeah, you go ahead.
People don't understand what's going on there, why they're doing that. Okay. What they're doing is our souls have to have a certain DNA for higher level consciousness to incarnate in it. Okay, now Jim doesn't believe this, but there are God consciousness souls that incarnate on this planet, And what they need is they need pure DNA, okay? Aryans have pure DNA. They're Rh negatives. I'm a blonde hair, blue-eyed Rh negative. My third eye works. My telepathy works. It's the worst thing they want. So they're trying to breed that pure DNA out of existence. When Indian babies were born, the medicine man of the tribe, out of his third eye, because their third eyes and telepathies worked, he would look at the energy level of that child and say, whoa, this is God-level consciousness. And he would say, this is our next chief, or this is our next medicine man. Or if it was female, this is our matriarch, our female chief. And that's what they're doing, and people have no understanding of that. And I know Jim's going to say, well, that's not true because, you know, it's education. It's not, because they gave an example of this doctor that took the shot and he's dying, and his housekeeper, who's the lowly housekeeper but had a higher level soul, said to him, what the hell are you doing? You don't take that thing. You know, she knew, but here's this educated individual that didn't have a clue because his soul level was not the higher level consciousness. People like Jack, I know who I am. I know my consciousness level. I know Jim's consciousness level. And Jack, I know yours. The ancient Egyptians used to say their leaders were gods incarnated, and that's because they were, so they could make the right decisions for the people, and that's what they're trying to destroy. But people have no understanding of it.
Okay, well, what I want to say to that, so that it's on the record, is that I judge a person primarily by how he treats me, and I treat people the way I want to be treated, and I think that white people are remiss in allowing themselves to be dispersed into the racial sphere because as a group, they were very powerful and able to build and create a wonderful world. And that doesn't mean that there isn't people in any other race that can do similar things. But as a group, as a whole, the whites have demonstrated that. And I bring all the problems back to whites themselves. They have to make a decision as to whether, I mean, black people stand together. Mexicans stand together. You see the Asians, they stand together like crazy. And they run their own little, you know, cartels in the country with their restaurants, et cetera, feed their money back home. And so there's nothing immoral and there's nothing evil about wanting to support and to keep your race alive. I mean, whites are down to what, less than 700 million people in a world of supposedly 9 billion. We don't have any idea really how many people are here. All lives probably. But regardless, we're a very small minority, and it's getting smaller and smaller. So I stand with that argument that we have a right to keep our race, and I'm one of those that wants our race to continue. I like being with my race, and I don't mind other people, but I want to be mostly with my own race. So that's that.
And here's the thing that, you know, always keep in mind is like, okay, how would any of these people feel if they had no country to call their own? Okay. In other words, I've not been to China, but I've been to other Asian countries, and it's overwhelmingly super majority Asians of the same type. You literally, the only other people you see are occasional tourists. And I'm talking about, I'm walking around a big city. Right. You just don't see a variety or diversity. So we don't have a country of our own anymore. They're trying to take away every single country from us. And they're doing it. England, France, Germany, Sweden. And these are relatively small populations compared to the third world. Keep that in mind.
Right.
So I have absolutely no qualms about deporting, you know, as quickly and as ruthlessly as possible, 98% of these people forthwith. And I just don't meet that many white people that feel similar. I mean, most people I meet are faggots. I mean, faggots in the pejorative term. Okay, most whites, not all. There's quite a few people that are hardcore, and I do know a few. But the vast majority of whites are fags. And we don't need any input from women at all. What a mistake it ever was to allow women to even be out in public without a permission slip from their husband, but to vote and to hold office, it's insanity.
Well, I think
Paul, you're spot on.
We've been attacked, and so we have to understand that. I mean, not chemically, from the skies, from the foods. White people have been primarily attacked. They were the ones that were attacked and destroyed in World War II. That's what it was about. I mean, they needed to get rid of Germany. They planned it in the 1850s, and they destroyed Germany. They destroyed the white population of the Soviet Union or Russia and the white monarchies of Europe. They destroyed them all. And that's for a reason, because white people were the only people that can stand up against this and win, in my opinion. Most of the other races will just go along with this. And you can see the Chinese don't seem to be too unhappy with living in a world of absolute total domination. And I know that there are some brave ones standing up, and I give that to them. You know, you mentioned souls. We all come into this world with a soul, and the soul itself is part of the person. You know, what you get an earth package, and that earth package may have some flaws or some strengths, just kind of like a game of Dungeons and Dragons. But this person inside is what we're looking for. And, you know, the people that I want to be around are people like me. And so I'm not going to say that we have a white culture that, you know, is all fags, because of the sense that, yeah, you can see them everywhere, but that's because they're ostensible and they're outgoing and mouthy. But there are people like us. I mean, I'm out. I feel them. I know them. I see them when people write to me. I hear them in conversations or different webinars I'm in. They want this world back, and they're willing to take charge, and they're willing to be aggressive and mean if they have to be, because if it's a war, you can't not be mean. If the word mean means that you got to hurt someone.
Jack, we're coming to the end. I want to thank you for a sensational presentation. Brian, Paul, you made wonderful contribution. Mitchell, for thanks for having the guests interviewed, lined up. Everyone, spend as much time as you can with the people you love and care about. Literally, we don't know how much time we have left. Jack has laid it out. This is a show you're going to want to listen to again and again and again. FreedomSlips.com, Studio B, check it out. Have a great weekend, but don't miss a precious moment with those you love and care about. Thanks, Jack. Sensational.
Thank you, Jim. Goodbye, guys.
Enter into a world unseen on Raven Star's Witching Hour. You will encounter eclectic topics from the realm of spirit brought into our matrix of truth. With your host, the Solaris Blue Raven, Solaris will bring you an array of unique guests covering topics from ghostly spirits to amazing anomalies, covert technology, UFOs, and shadowy global events.
And that's right here at Revolution Radio, FreedomSlips.com, Saturdays, midnight till 2 a.m. Eastern Time. Revolution Radio, where information never sleeps.
Let the magic rise.
This is Thomas, a.k.a. a Mad Painter. I'd like you to join me Monday nights, 10 p.m. Eastern Standard Time for Open Canvas. Don't forget to bring an open mind.
Yes, folks, that's right. Bring an open mind to an open canvas. Again, that is Monday nights, 10 p.m. Eastern. UFOs to government corruption. This is Revolution Radio, FreedomSlips.com. You don't need to expect us. We're already here.
We did not engage in conflict that was out of line with our mission.
Is it disloyal? Is it sedition? Is it treason to oppose the hands of tyranny? No!
never.
I will never send troops anywhere on a mission of that kind without telling them that if somebody shoots at them, they can darn well shoot back.
I know not what course others may take, but as for me, give me liberty! Oh, give me death!
A dark cloud is finally lifting across the world as U.S. military intelligence and their